I don't think this is Aaron now. Aaron, is that you? Aaron, are you on?
I am. Can you hear me now?
I can, yes. And see you too, all at the same time.
Sorry about that. For some reason, my normal computer doesn't want to work, but my laptop does. My apologies.
No problem.
Good thing I started early. I know there's a lot of folks on the call, so I'm going to just go ahead and mute.
Okay.
Hey, Kevin, could you do me a favor and just advise, once we start, if you could advise the board members to direct any of their legal questions regarding the SUVA matter to Michael and not me?
Okay, I will do.
Thank you.
Hi, and this is Michael Rain. I'm on the line.
Hello, Michael.
Good morning.
Hi.
I'll go ahead and mute unless I'm needed.
Good morning, everyone. This is Paul Mittman.
Hey, Paul.
Good morning.
Morning.
Kevin, it's 10. Do we have quorum? Should I start?
So we have Paul, you, Glenn. We need one more.
Okay.
Were we going to have all board members on today?
The only one that I had couldn't make it was Mike Romano.
Okay.
How about Scott Wallace?
He accepted.
Okay. He lives across the street from me. You want me to go pound on his door?
Yeah. Yeah, if you could. Maybe throw a rock over there and see if you can wake him up.
Kevin, did you see that a couple of people popped off saying they were leaving the meeting? Maybe people are having trouble like Keith was.
Yeah, so here, okay. Yeah, there might. I just got, now we have Dr. Leck is on. Jennifer, are you on? Hey, Jennifer.
Hi.
Okay. Hey, Jennifer, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Great. Okay. Trish, we have a quorum.
Okay. We are calling to order the April 9th, 2020, Arizona State Board for Private Postsecondary Education Special Board Meeting. The board, upon a majority vote of a quorum of the members, may go into executive session for the purpose of obtaining legal advice pursuant to ARS 38431.03A3 on any matter on the agenda. The board reserves the right to change the order of the agenda items with the exception of hearings. And since we only have one item on the agenda, the board, upon a majority vote of the quorum of the members, may also go into executive session to discuss or consider records exempt from law from public inspection, including receipt and discussion of information or testimony that's specifically required to be maintained as confidential by state or federal law pursuant to ARS 38431.03A2. Since this is a all remote meeting, we're going to ask for one of the board staff to call roll when it comes time to do any motion. And if you're making a motion, as always, remember to say your name. And right now, I'll ask for Rachel to call a roll for the people on the call, the board and staff, one at a time.
Rachel?
Sorry, my microphone was still off. Mr. Tharp?
What?
Are you here?
Yeah, I'm not there, but I am here.
I'm Dr. Mittman.
Present.
Miss Leonard.
Here.
Dr. Leck.
Present.
Seamus Monica. I can't say it. I'm sorry.
It's right. It's Monahan here.
And Mr. Rain?
I'm here.
Mr. LaMountain?
I'm here.
Mr. Blanchard? Mr. Blanchard, are you here?
We're going to say he's here.
Okay.
And I can see him. I can see him on here, so I think we're good.
At this time, would I need to also address our previous executive director?
Scott Wallace is showing up on here, so I'm not sure if you got it.
Mr. Wallace, Scott? Are you in attendance?
And Scott, if you're, you might be on mute.
It says unknown with a picture of him, and I.
All right, I can see him. So, Mr. Wallace, if you could unmute. Okay, there's a, if you go down to the bottom, just put your cursor down at the bottom and just click in the middle. It should show you the little mute button. It should be a mute button, a telephone, and a video.
Sorry, this is Keith. I'm here. Did you hear me this time, Kevin?
Yes.
Thank you. Sorry about that.
Mr. Lupke, are you here?
I do not see Mr. Lupke. And Mr. Wallace, if you want to try it again and or use the telephone number that I put on the agenda.
Do we need him for quorum?
We do not need him for quorum, so we can move forward and then he can join.
Okay. So we have one item on the agenda today. Mr. LaMountain, would you like to introduce the issue?
I would. Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members of the board. I provided you the documentation in terms of the board report with regards to Southwestern University of Visual Arts. If you recall, SUVA came before the board on January 23rd, 2020 to defend their renewal application. As a result of numerous deficiencies and multiple violations of the previous stipulated agreement, the board staff recommended to the board that the license denial would have been recommended. The board reviewed all of the documentation and interviewed both the attorney and staff from SUVA during that board meeting. The board voted 6-0 to deny the 2020 license renewal pursuant to ARS 32-3051, subsection 1, 4, 8, 9, 10, 16, and 18. Since that meeting occurred, the school did file a request for an administrative hearing. That administrative hearing will take place on Thursday, April 23rd meeting if this particular, and I'll have Seamus explain to that, the particular agreement that we had communicated back and forth with the school to. So at this point in time, we have met with both the attorney and staff from SUVA and have worked on an agreement, and which is attached to the information that you have in the packet. Representing today the institution is Ms. Erin Burns, who is the attorney for SUVA. So I would ask Ms. Burns to introduce herself. And I know that you've got some individuals from the school that are also online that I can see. So Ms. Burns.
Thank you, Mr. LaMountain. Good morning, board members. Thank you for entertaining this special meeting today. We greatly appreciate it. And before I introduce anybody, I just want to say that we greatly appreciate the opportunity to have met with and talked with Mr. LaMountain, Mr. Moynihan, and Mr. Blanchard. With me today is board member Stuart Gibson, the interim president of SUVA, Eric Gant, and the chief academic officer, Camden Hardy.
Great. And just as a point of reference for the board members, our legal counsel today will be Mr. Michael Raines. Michael Rain, he is, will be our, any legal advice will go through him, as Seamus has, is serving in a different role in this particular meeting. So, Madam Chair. Trish.
Sorry, I had to unmute. Since this format is a little different than a regular meeting, do we first have the school give an explanation, or do we ask for Seamus to give an explanation?
Madam Chair, members of the board, if you would entertain me going first, just so I could give you a little background and present the agreement to you before speaking with the school.
Certainly. So if you would just introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Okay. Members of the board, Seamus Monahan, Assistant Attorney General. Thank you for being here today. So the agreement that we are presenting to you today, we got together on the 31st with SUVA's attorney, Ms. Burns, and we negotiated in good faith in a stipulated agreement to address the issues of the board. The board's role will be to accept, reject, or modify this agreement, with the understanding that if you do not accept this agreement, we will be going forward on April 23rd with the formal hearing. So this would be in lieu of the formal hearing. And I would also ask that if you do accept this agreement, that you make a motion to vacate that formal hearing. And if you have any questions for me, I'm here to answer them.
Okay, Trish?
Yes, I'd like to hear from the school next.
My apologies, I'm muting and unmuting. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. As Mr. Monahan just indicated, we did negotiate in good faith. The school, I think, has taken significant strides toward improving matters, particularly with respect to communication and communication and reporting problems that it has had historically, that I think have led us in no small part to where we are today and to the board's decision in January. Some of the, and I apologize if I'm repeating something that the board already knows. Of course, I'm not privy to the report that you all have, so my apologies if I am repeating, but I do think it's important to let you all know that Julie Mayers and Rob Mayers are no longer with SUVA. They have been separated from the school. Mr. Gant is acting as the school's president, but the school is actively involved in a presidential search, although that has been sort of a, it's been an odd process, somewhat on hold. I mean, they're advertising, they're getting submissions, but haven't taken any steps yet because obviously can't do that until the school knows what's going to happen with its licensure. The administrative team, part of which is on the call with us today, have worked on a compliance policy, which the board has adopted, have taken strides to make sure that people who are most familiar and most qualified to deal with certain things, for instance, dealing with VA funding, are the people that are in charge of those things. I know that Mr. LaMountain spoke with Mr. Gant and perhaps Mr. Hardy, I'm not sure, during the interviews that they conducted with personnel at the school. about ensuring that there's, at the end of the day, one person who's in charge and accountable and responsive to the board. And I think that Suva has heard that loud and clear. The board and the administrative team deeply desire to continue to improve. They understand that there have been a lot of problems, that these are not things that are going to be fixed overnight. They were ecstatic, my word, to see the stipulated agreement. The board approved it without anything other than gratitude. And so we are here today, hat in hand, hoping that your board feels that the requirements that are in the stipulated agreement are sufficient to allow the board to feel comfortable issuing the license so that Suva can continue on its road of trying to get back on track. And next step is to improve its enrollment. Thank you.
Does anyone have any questions?
I have a question.
This is someone has a question?
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. And good morning. It's nice to see you again. You know, I was wondering if you could elaborate a little bit on the plan that the board and the administration have outlined. If you can give us the broad outlines for that.
I'm sorry, in terms of the compliance plan or generally?
I think, you know, it's a couple of things. You know, there's a compliance plan, and, you know, and in many respects, you know, I just want to say, I appreciate the steps that the university is taking. And I trust that, you know, that the university is acting in full sincerity. Past 2 or 3 years, I can remember off the top of my head, different complaints with respect to students, to, you know, records, to releasing diplomas that were earned, various fines that were levied by the board. And so the you know, for lack of a better word, the sort of organizational combination of like tone deafness and ineptitude was really stood apart from practically every other school that we encountered during this time. And I'm not saying that just to pile on, but when a school makes the decision, the hard decision to relieve the former president, some trustees and other administration officials, I just want to acknowledge that. And the question is, since the school is going to be quarterly reporting to the board, it would be nice to know what's the plan and how can we make sure that that the school is making progress against the plan with whatever milestones you're putting in place, so that we can make sure that that the students at Suva, you know, are served that they should be, and that the really good intentions that you've expressed are actually fulfilled, because, you know, an idea without a plan and without milestones is just kind of an idea or a dream.
I appreciate those questions. Let me address a couple of things high level, and then because we have them on the phone and because they're the people that are going to be doing this, I'd rather that you hear from primarily Mr. Gant and then perhaps Mr. Gibson. So, the decision to separate the Woodses was not, I don't think, an easy decision. I wasn't involved in that, but what I will tell you, because I think that as I've had this conversation with Mr. LaMountain, Mr. Blanchard, and also before that with Ms. Stanfill, is I don't think Suva is in the position of wanting to hide the ball. I don't think that serves our purposes at all. And so I will tell you candidly from the attorney's perspective that a lot of the culture, the sort of defiance that you saw at board meetings, which was, you know, I can only imagine how surprising it must have been for you as board members. Some of it was surprising for me sitting next to it. That came from the Woodses. And so I think when you hear from Mr. Gant in a moment, Mr. Gibson, perhaps Mr. Hardy, I think what you're going to hear is something very different. I hope that that's something that Mr. LaMountain and Mr. Blanchard have experienced as well. But you're exactly right. Without intentions, without some sort of plan for implementing them, are probably not going to get us very far. And so I would like to have them talk to you some more about sort of how they're going to address or how they are addressing compliance issues. I will tell you that I think, not surprisingly, probably to all of you, as it wasn't to me, they continue to discover problems that were occasioned by Ms. Mayers and her position and the things that she was responsible for, but they're working through those. For instance, we had some reporting issues recently with the VA, which I'm sure you all are aware of, because I know your executive director was aware of them. Mr. Gant took that bull by the horns and was able to get it worked out. There was some a lack of reporting as to the school's change of ownership that we got worked out. There was a misunderstanding there. I think those things are going to slowly over time be resolved, but obviously we have to work through them. And I mention that because, I think as we work through some of those things, we're trying to do the planning in tandem, and some of these things are going to take time. One thing that I also wanted to make you aware of that the school has been working on, because I know that this was a concern of this board as well as HLC, specifically in terms of administrative capacity, is financial stuff and having the right people in charge of dealing with financial issues. The school, I think it was in January, but it might have been in February, I don't have that agreement in front of me, hired a temporary sort of outsourced company in Tucson with multiple people available to provide CFO services. That, however, was a temporary sort of thing, again, like a stopgap for them to have somebody in place to provide those services until they'd like to have a CFO in-house. And I know that was something certainly that I had a couple of conversations with Ms. Stanfill about. I assume that that's an interest and a desire of the board. So the SUVA board is engaged in trying to do sort of some higher level strategic planning. At several of its past meetings, it's talked about fundraising. It's talked about, had some really in-depth conversations about what the finances look like, how to get enrollment up, what those efforts need to look like. They're looking at the staffing right now of the school and if all the needs of the students are met, but also the administrative needs are met. And so those are some of the things that are going on at the board level. But as I said, I'd like to kind of turn it over to Mr. Gant and then Mr. Gibson to talk to you a little bit more in depth about what's happening at the administrative level at the school, because I don't do that on a day-to-day basis with them.
Good morning. My name is Eric Gant. I am the interim president of Southwest University of Visual Arts. I first would like to say thank you for giving us this opportunity to talk to you, to share our thoughts, and to be open to any type of questions that you may have. First, I would like to address a culture question. In the past, as you articulated, there seemed to be a resistance and a perception about the relationship that the Arizona State Board has with SUVA. I've likened it to, big government getting in the way of people doing business. And that's no longer the case. My attitude is that this is a partnership, meaning that we work together in the best interest of the student. Your job is to make sure that we are fulfilling our obligation to the student, and my obligation is the same. So there is this cultural difference, and so I want to make sure it's clear to the State Board that it is my belief that we are in partnership for the student, and that goes with every single external agency, whether it's the VA or our accrediting body, it is a partnership. That said, I want to talk about the compliance, our compliance team approach. I know Mr. LaMountain has articulated that he believes in the one neck approach. And I first would like to say that I am that neck. So keep that in mind. But the compliance team approach means that there's more than just one person watching the ball. And one way to think about it is kind of like a rugby match. If you go down the field with the ball, you can laterally pass it to make sure that you can meet your goal and get the and score for the students. In terms of the VA thing that the VA situation that Aaron just articulated, while I was the one of the primary contacts with the VA, other team members like Carly Sufelt, who is our dean of instruction, also took part of the reins and helped us accomplish that goal. That way we can work in tandem to make sure that we're doing what we need to do. So that's how the compliance team works. It's a team approach. Everything is articulated to a team. So everybody knows what's going on at the same time. So anybody can pick up the ball and run with it. But in the end, it's really up to me to make sure that it gets done in a timely manner and ahead of time, ideally. There were some questions a moment ago, I believe, about making sure things are done in the best interest of the students getting their degrees and all those things. As Aaron articulated, there is a culture change, and our goal is when students graduate that we're gonna change the systems and the processes so that when students graduate, they're actually graduating and walking out the door with their transcripts. We're still working on that, on making sure that we're doing things that are in the best interest of primarily the students, but the school, so that we are fulfilling all of our obligations. As Aaron articulated, we are discovering new things all the time, and we are tackling them one by one, and making corrections to our processes so that things work more efficiently. In the conversation that I had with Mr. LaMountain, he asked what I saw were some things that I needed to change. The processes were one of them. Our processes needed to be more efficient, our systems needed to be more effective, and daily we are having conversations about improving processes and systems. It is an ongoing conversation, and we are seeing more efficiency and changes, I believe, are going to be for the better. Are there any other questions? Did I answer all of them?
If I could, Dr. Mittman, part of the issue here too is, I'm sure I'm telling you something you all know. I mean, you're all in the business, so. Because so many things had been delegated to Julie Mayers, part of what the school has worked on, and I think that this is pretty well addressed at this point, but part of it was, what was she supposed to be doing? What had she not done? How are we going to parse this out amongst the staff that are still here? And as far as I understand it, that's all been handled. But of course, some of that stuff takes time. So that was part of the process of kind of getting things in a getting things to be functional with respect to compliance and other issues, operational issues that you asked about with respect to transcripts and records. I'm well aware of those past issues. As far as I know, and Eric, please correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think we've had any issues with students requesting transcripts and not being able to get them. I'm knocking on my dining room table. I don't think we've had any issues with disciplinary issues that didn't follow a trajectory that they should have followed. I'm hopeful that none of those issues have cropped up, but I also believe that If they were to crop up, and I, you know, hopefully nothing like the transcript issue ever crops up again, but I think the people that are in place now understand the policies and procedures that apply to, for instance, disciplinary issues. These folks, this administrative team has, as I said, created this new compliance policy. They are familiar with the school's policy and understand that it needs to be implemented. So I hope that we're not going to see anything like that that rises to your level ever again. They also, of course, have been dealing with, as everybody has, you know, coronavirus. Initially, that led to an almost entire closure of the campus in terms of classes that were presented on site. Initially, they tried to keep, and I don't want to misstate this, so I will let Eric or Camden address this, but initially they tried to keep a couple of classes that required sort of on-site use of equipment, et cetera, open. That has since ended. And so, you know, part of what everybody's been doing, just like every other institution and business, is figuring out how to reconfigure things to make sure that students continue to receive instruction, you know, digitally or virtually.
Yeah, Aaron was speaking correctly in that particular situation. We have been dealing with the COVID situation like many of the other institutions. It did initially start off that we wanted to have some of these more hands-on classes to still have access to studios, but as the situation was constantly changing, we needed to adapt, and everything is being taught virtually. And still meeting our obligations to the students. In terms of, just to touch base with the transcript situation, there is a recent situation where a student did request a transcript. No, the student request was not a recent attendee of the school. And in the past, I know I became aware that there had been requests from the student to Julie concerning access to her transcripts. These are transcripts that are 20 years old at this point. There was a perception by this graduated student that we didn't have them anymore, and that wasn't the case. And so she now has her transcripts. We reprioritized and changed things so that the behavior, so that that doesn't happen anymore. Like if students request their transcripts, we do what's necessary to get their transcripts. Julie was, for lack of a better word, incompetent in many arenas, especially when it came to making sure that she could deliver things in a timely manner. That is we no longer have that, and we have systems in place and structures in place for when there is that level of, when people aren't doing their jobs and they are either coached or removed from their positions. Camden, if you want, you can speak a little bit more about how we handled the COVID situation.
Yeah, so as far as the COVID situation goes, you know, it's in many ways, this has sort of been, if one could ask for an ideal time for something like this to happen, this would be it, because it's really sort of forced us to develop our processes and policies from a position of adaptability. And so we have completely changed the way that we're approaching our process development, not only because of the departure of Julie and the Woods, but also because of the fact that we don't necessarily know what's going to be happening in, you know, the fall. So it's been really, really exciting, actually, for us to be doing that. I'd also like to sort of echo what Eric and Aaron have already said, is that, you know, we share the State Board's frustrations with the past administration. And so we're working very diligently to make sure that that never happens again. And we, everyone who's left here is firmly believing that, this is a partnership, and we're going to do everything we can to make sure that we're in compliance.
Dr. Mittman, does that address your concerns?
Sure. And I guess, you know, when a school gets to this point, you know, and there's a financial element to it as well, you know, it really takes the kind of leadership plus teamwork that you're describing. And I would just appreciate that the university could update the board on as part of its quarterly reporting, just so that we could see where the university is making progress against its own plan. It's not like or for a board to impose a plan, but I think it will be helpful for us to know that there's progress on it.
Those are valid. Can we ask our legal counsel, is that something that would have to be amended into the agreement, or is it just the stipulated agreement, or is it something that can just be made as part of the motion?
I'm sorry, could you clarify that? Can you hear me?
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
So Dr. Mittman had asked if the board could require the school in their quarterly reporting to also give an update on how they're progressing against their own plans.
Okay. Well, you know, if you wanted that to be something that's enforceable, it would need to appear in the agreement, meaning that if they didn't give you that update, it would be a violation of the agreement. You know, there are gentlemen's agreements, for lack of a better term, that go along with contracts. But they are just not enforceable, like the terms of the contract themselves. So I would suggest that if you want to make that a requirement, that you would amend the agreement. Or if you think, you know, it's sufficient as board members to have just heard them say that and to work with them, then you could hope that it persists without the force of an agreement behind it.
Okay, thank you.
But if it's not in the contract, putting it in the motion doesn't make it enforceable.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
In the agreement itself, it shows that, so I think there's a couple of things here. One, it shows that staff would be visiting either virtually or in person the campus to check the status of what's going on, you know, on a quarterly basis with the school. That would be a component of what we would do, is to see where they're at towards the plan. The other piece to this is, if we recall, this license expired December 31st of 2019. So, and we're now here approaching mid-April. They will be on reporting, although they wouldn't have to specifically talk about where they're at to their plan. That would be mostly in terms of their financials. But they're going to go through this whole process again in literally just a matter of 6 months or so, because their license will come back up for renewal in October. They'll have to have it completed by October 1st. So all of this information will, and we'll be back here again, because there's obviously we would put them on the agenda for their 2021 license. So I just wanted to put that out there, that we do have some things built into the specific agreement that we're looking at here.
From my perspective, it's I would want to make sure that they are meeting obligations, and since historically that hasn't happened, I understand that staff has turned over. So a question for you is, everything that you have asked for that is now falling under this you know, new and improved management team, are you getting everything that you have asked for, and are you getting it timely?
That's a good question. We haven't asked for a lot, so I haven't received a lot. I think as we move forward, that will be something that we'll have to maintain a status update, so that we know that we're getting what we need. I just haven't really asked them. And in terms of some of the issues that we had that I was trying to work with them through with the VA, I think they've been very responsive to, they were responsive to both the VA in Arizona and in New Mexico.
And I know that they've completed their information and they got their documentation to both of those entities in a timely manner.
Okay, good.
Madam Chair, I have a question. I'm surprised to see the new faces. I must have missed something along the way as far as understanding that as far as I perceive, the whole management turned over. Do we have any back? Can Mr. Hardy or Mr. Gant give us some background on who they are and kind of help us understand how they're going to change the administrative capacity? Like, I don't know their background, and I might have missed something. Sorry.
Oh, that's good questions.
So I'll start. My name is Eric Gant. I have been with Southwest University of Visual Arts and 2010. I started off as basically an adjunct faculty member, and I've worked my way through almost every single position that you can have at the school. And for the past few years, I've been the campus dean in Albuquerque. I'm responsible for running the Albuquerque campus, and now as interim, the Tucson campus as well. Now I know there's probably going to be some questions about how I have oversight to this, and I'll get to that in a minute. But from my perspective, I've had the opportunity to see some of the issues and attempted to address some of these issues that people are talking about firsthand by talking to students, getting their perspective, trying to find a way to help them through the systems that used to exist. And so, you know, both Camden and I have seen these things, and we're both poised to make the necessary changes because we understand that perspective. I do have a terminal degree, as does Camden. And we understand higher education from that perspective. I know that there might have been some questions about some of those things from individuals in the past. And so we now have teams in place that can address some of those things. Now, in terms of my ability to manage and run the Tucson campus remotely, you know, the way I think about it is we're one campus, two locations, meaning that what happens on one campus happens on the other campus, and I just have a virtual office. It's, you know, it's gotten, everybody now has a virtual office with COVID, but it is just a virtual location, and I have an open door policy. People can ask me questions. I get asked questions by individuals in Tucson all day. Hope that helps. Camden, do you want to unpack some stuff about yourself?
Sure. So I started on the Tucson campus as faculty back in 2012, and had been working really closely with our chief academic officer over the last several years to develop or redevelop our assessment system, because we've been getting feedback from HLC that our assessment wasn't up to par. And so, you know, I was sort of identified as the assessment guru of our campus. And when we were still a private for-profit institution, I was named in the president's succession plan as the new chief academic officer. And so, I spent the last couple of years working really closely with him to develop our system. And so that's how I ended up here. And that's really been my primary function up until recently was you know, redeveloping our assessment system. So now I have taken over as the sort of lead of the Tucson campus, and now I'm working very closely with Eric over in Albuquerque to make sure that our operations are you know, continuous between both campuses.
Thank you.
And just another point that you know, both Camden and I have really had opportunities to dig deep into how the school operates. Both of us were part of the team that worked on our HLC reaffirmation and met with all of HLC's representatives to speak about how our institution is functioning, especially in terms of academic assessment and how we are now carrying our ability to assess processes, assess everything in relationship to improvement. We are seeing these improvements already. So things are handling more effectively. We're able to adapt and change quicker. And I think everything is a lot more positive now.
Okay. Thank you.
Do any other board members have questions? Mr. Lamont, did Mr. Lupke join? Mr. Lamont, are you there? I have a little empathy for all those.
Especially before we get to our next meeting. But what I was saying was, when I was on mute, is that I don't see them on here. There are a number of people on the call that just show up as private callers, so I don't know. So, Mr. Lupke, are you on the phone? So I assume that's a no.
Okay. I was asking, because he was the lead in January, so I thought that he might have a different perspective or maybe have some questions he would like answered.
Yeah, and he didn't send anything back to me that specifically asked for questions. And Mike said if he had any, he would send them to me, Mike Romano, and he did not send those. So I assume that they're both, they didn't have any additional questions at this point.
Okay. And I'm assuming that the staff and the legal counsel feel comfortable with this agreement since you worked in harmony with the school to craft it. So are you comfortable? It's one of those things that holding their history against them, we have to, because that's what we have seen. We can't blindly assume that everything is going to be great going forward, although we absolutely hope and trust that it will. So do you feel that the terms of this stipulated agreement give you sufficient comfort along with the quarterly reporting and their upcoming renewal of their license, that you feel that we will have a close enough view of what's going on to know that the students are protected?
Outside of being there every day and managing and running their school for them, which none of us are going to do, I think that based upon the conversations that I've had with Eric and Camden and Aaron and others, at this point, I believe that we have enough oversight in the stipulated agreement to make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to do. And certainly, if that changes at any time, then we would certainly have the opportunity to do something once again in December, January timeframe for their renewal. But I think we're the agreement as it is, unless we want to add the following up on the plan for Dr. Mittman, I think we can monitor and make sure that they're doing what they're going to do or what they're supposed to do. And I also believe that I have an agreement. A conversation with Ms. Burns and their team at that they, my opinion is, and it was very clear to them, at least I hope it was, if it wasn't, please let me know, is that they need to have somebody, they really do need to focus on bringing someone with operations skill into the organization that has run schools before, that know where to look and how to drive this team forward. And I know that that is on their agenda to find that individual, whomever that would be, and really help the school take off.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I don't know if I should raise my hand or this is such an awkward, my apologies. Like, I don't want to interrupt, but our board member, Mr. Gibson, who I think is on the phone, but shot me an email saying he's having trouble with his audio, said that he was going to chime in after Mr. Gant and Mr. Hardy finished to say that the board is aware that they do need to hire the type of person that Mr. LaMountain is talking about. And I don't mean to suggest that Mr. Gant or Mr. Hardy are not doing a fantastic job. They are. I don't think we would have gotten to an offer of a stipulated agreement at all had the administrative team not been going gangbusters. But the board understands Mr. LaMountain's and the board's concern. They are working on that and they have been talking about it. So I just wanted to, because he seems to be having trouble with his audio, let you know that if his audio were working, he would tell you that probably in a better way than I am. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you. Anyone else have any questions or concerns?
Yeah, I just want to echo Ms. Mountain's comments. I'm perfectly comfortable with faith effort on the part of the university, backed up by the staff visits and the quarterly reporting, plus the fact that they're going to be coming back for renewal. So I'm fine with the stipulated agreement, having brought up the previous comments.
Okay, thank you. And Ms. LaMountain, the next thing that would be due from them would be the transcripts for the spring term. Is that correct?
It would be, and I believe they are still fully into their spring term. I did receive, if you recall back when Suva was initially in our January meeting, I had just received those transcripts the day before, but they haven't had anything due from that point until the end of this semester. And I think I talked to Mr. Gant about the timing on that is May. Is that correct, Eric?
Yes, that's when the semester will end. Yes.
Right. So then after that, we'll receive the spring updated transcripts.
Okay. So that will be the first test to see if they're following through timely is if right. You get those. And then when would the next quarterly reporting for their financials be due?
So the next quarterly report is, I don't have my calendar, would be, is that something? May.
Kevin, yeah. June is the next. June is the next. Okay. Finance.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So those are two, tests, not quizzes, to make sure that if you don't meet those two, then we obviously will assume that we'll continue to be having problems. So it would really behoove you to be timely on those, and obviously they need to be accurate. So if you're whatever period you have to go through the process of, finalizing grades and doing the transfer. We understand that. We're not asking you to take shortcuts on it. But, when the grading is finalized for the term, make sure you submit them. If there's any delay, make sure you keep in contact. And the same thing with the financials. Make sure you get them timely, because obviously the staff is going to need to keep a very close eye on what is going on.
Yeah, yes. The message is loud and clear, and I want to make sure that our promise to the state board is also loud and clear. Those things will be delivered on time.
Great. Right, does anyone else have any questions or comments?
None for me.
None for me.
Okay. So would anyone like to make a motion? Not, I will make it. so to be clear, this motion needs to encompass that the board would make a motion to accept the stipulated agreement and to set aside the request for the upcoming hearing. Is that correct?
Yeah. Michael? Yeah.
Then I make a motion that the state board accept the stipulated agreement with Suva and set aside the request for a hearing. We have a motion by Trish Leonard. Do we have a second?
Dr. Leck, second.
Thank you, Dr. Leck. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Dr. Mittman, you look like you really want to say something.
in a second, but Dr. Leck beat me to it.
You have a slight delay on yours. Hers is right on top of it. Yours has a little pause.
The doctors, I win.
thank you both. Any other further discussion? All right, by roll call vote, Rachel?
Mr. Tharp?
Mr. Tharp, aye.
Dr. Mittman?
Paul Mittman, aye.
Ms. Leonard?
Trish Leonard, aye.
Dr. Leck?
Dr. Leck, aye.
And Mr. Wallace?
I think we're still having
audio challenges.
Audio issue. And I don't see him, so he can't even give me a thumbs up. Oh! Thumbs up. So.
In case that doesn't officially count, do we have a quorum anyway?
I don't think that, so I think we're good.
All right. The motion passes, and we trust that you will only be before the board for required meetings and not for any other negative issues. And then, of course, at the time of licensure. So thank you very much for your hard work on this. And you know, we genuinely hope that that all these, you know, positive plans that you have, you know, do come to completely to fruition, that you find somebody great to fill the role that you need to fill, and you can, you know, go forward in a very positive way. You know, as you know, proprietary schools sometimes get negative press, and it's very important to this board that all of the schools that we license are above board, as they say, so that the education they're offering is very important, that all the businesses are very important for, you know, the economy of the state. You know, any business that fails is hard on the state's economy and the local economy as well. And then, of course, the students, we are a consumer protection board, so the students are the primary concern for the board. So we certainly hope that you'll move forward and all the students will be successfully and well educated and will graduate.
We just wanted to say before we all hang up, thank you very much on behalf of SUVA and the administrative team. They are really excited for this opportunity. And again, we extend, and I personally extend my thanks to staff and to Mr. Monahan. I hope that I don't see any of you again either for anything other than routine business.
Well, you don't take that personally.
No, I hope you don't. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Oh.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Have a nice day, you all.
Thank you.
Right, thank you. So the next item on the agenda then is call to the public, if there's any public out there. And there's not. All right, then I make a motion for adjournment at 10:56. Thank you all. Stay healthy. Don't cough on people. Don't be coughed on. See you next time.
Thank you all very much. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Everybody gone? Kevin?
All right, it looks like it's just you and me, so we can close out and be good to go.